I've been doing this 10 years and I think I'm good at it and I've had two successful places, but I'm telling you, I'm learning, like, I'm picking up so much stuff here, it's incredible.
The International Pizza Expo makes its triumphant return to Las Vegas and the excitement is high. Lots of companies are back, lots of curious and passionate pizza people are roaming the aisles, and we've got a front row seat talking to several of this year's attendees. A glimpse of the International Pizza Expo straight ahead.
Straight fire pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. A quick programming note, Pizza City Fest LA tickets on sale now. It's happening April 27th and 28th at LA Live. That's right downtown across from where the Lakers and Clippers and Kings play. We've got 20 different pizza makers on site each day baking live on those brand new Marafoni electric ovens and a couple of wood-burning ones to boot, plus demos and panel discussions with some of the industry leaders. Tickets on sale now at pizzacityfest.com. Well, last week I was in Las Vegas for the 40th International Pizza Expo. That is quite a milestone. This is what everybody in the business talks about all year long. It's a reunion, it's a convention, a trade show, and so much more. Now, in years past, I would dedicate myself to just walking the aisles and seeing what was trending, what was hot, looking at those robots making pizzas they promise you every year. No more labor necessary. The robots are going to do it, and they never quite stick. Well, this year, as you know, I was partnering with Prolux in their booth much of the time, talking about a tavern-style dough press. That's definitely a game changer. But I did take some time each day to walk around, and I wanted one question answered. With so much of our world and our business being done online, why go through the trouble of flying to Vegas, getting a hotel, neither of which are cheap anymore, waiting for cabs that'll take you a mile and a half, but in 30 minutes, and spending money on those overpriced restaurants along the strip when you could be back at the office? Well, for one reason, it's an excuse to get away for a few days, but it also provides inspiration for a lot of folks. So today, in their own words, why did you go to Expo?
I'm Derek Tung. I am from Chicago in Chicagoland region. I'm the owner of Poly G's Wicker Park and Poly G's Logan Square.
So I'm curious, Derek, because a lot of business these days is done remotely. It's done online. It's done via Zoom. You can order all your ingredients you need from somebody. You can send an email. Why is it important to actually come here and be face-to-face with people? Because, listen, if small business, it's expensive to come to Vegas for a couple days. The flights aren't cheap. Why do this?
So we do this for multiple reasons. One reason is, you know, you really get a chance to talk face-to-face with the vendors, really check out the equipment, really check out the quality of ingredients. This year, we're bringing two of our team leaders here who have never been to Pizza Expo, and it's our belief that in order for them to see bigger picture just outside of what our restaurant ops are, they need to see the field as a whole, the industry as a whole, so that we can really learn from everywhere we can.
Are there breakouts? I know there's usually a keynote speech in the morning, but are there breakouts or educational opportunities, or is it really just kind of looking at product, looking and tasting while you're here?
It's a little bit of everything. So there's definitely, the keynote's amazing, but those breakout sessions, you know, they're hit or miss. Some of them are great and you learn a ton from. Some of them, not so much. You know, we attended a Scott Wiener Slice Trend one that we learned a lot about what slice trends are going on around the nation. It's always good just to keep your mind open and see how we can improve it either operationally, visually, functionally as a team.
I'm Chris, and I'm from Byram, New Jersey.
And what do you do?
I'm a pizza maker. I own a Slice of New Jersey food truck.
Tell us why you come all this way to Las Vegas when so much of your business could be done online these days.
Really just to meet as many people as possible and to meet everyone that, you know, we've met online, and just to socialize, interact, network, and just essentially learn as much as we can to better our craft.
Is the Jersey pizza scene, like, on fire right now? Or, I mean, besides Ratza, and I know Jersey City, is there more than Ratza?
Yeah, well, that's why we started the truck, because we're in the northwest region of New Jersey, so we're about an hour west of New York City. So, like, where we are, it's a little more of a pizza desert, so that was why I created the truck, was to kind of put out artisan pizza in our region. But yeah, a lot of New Jersey has some really great pizza. I think we're spoiled with a lot of good Italian, good Chinese, good pizza. Yeah.
This is your first time here or second?
Second.
Okay, so can you give me a sense of like what you've learned here in the past or how it's benefited you?
Just learning about like different styles of ovens and different regional styles to see what other people are doing, to learn what other food trucks are doing essentially, because that's what we do. And there's really not a lot of pizza food trucks in our area. So to see what other trucks are doing throughout the country and how they're operating and what, you know, what kind of styles they're doing on the truck is like super, you know, super informative.
Any best practices you guys have sort of employed as a result of coming here or just even from what you've seen today, just kind of walking around, anything that you've said, you know, I'm going to do that for my own business?
Honestly, it's just to keep evolving and never become complacent and always learn and try to better our craft and try to do the best possible pie we can put out.
How do people find you online?
We're at asliceofnewjersey.com and we're on Instagram at asliceofnewjersey.
Darby Aldaco, Pizza Thief, Portland, Oregon.
Why is, and by the way, for full disclosure, Pizza Thief has been on the podcast in the past. Darby, why did you guys come out here? I know it's not that far from Portland, but like I know so much of business these days is done online and remotely. Why go through the trouble of bringing staff out here and spending the money to come to Vegas for a couple days?
It's a vacation, for one. It's a working vacation. And right now we're growing, so I'm looking for equipment. I'm looking for some technology.
When you say looking for equipment, can you literally kick oven. The tires?
Ovens, you want to like check out the ovens. You want to see them working. Also, we're you know, kiosk, POS, that kind of stuff for the new space. Pans, equipment, yeah, everything. So it's just nice to be able to get your hands on it. And you can get it cheaper here.
You can, because there's show deals.
Discounts, yeah.
Okay. And do you learn anything? I mean, you obviously, you're learning from the experts?
Yeah, I learned about tavern style pizza today with this new press that saves like days of curing.
See?
I didn't pay you to say that. What did you say?
Makes me want to change my concept.
Because you saw something at the show and you thought, oh my gosh, a light bulb went off?
It took seconds.
So, what's your name and where you're from?
Gina Rollo from Portland, Oregon. Pizzeria Stellina.
What kind of pizza do you make there?
12-inch, kind of my style. Not Neapolitan, charred.
But you're thinking maybe tavern style now?
No, but it was an eye-opener. It was really good.
Well, that's why you come here, right? To have your eyes opened?
Yep, exactly.
For sure. That was crazy.
It's your first show?
No, I came back in before I owned a pizzeria, like in 2015, I think.
Okay, well, have a great show.
Thanks.
Scott Sandler, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
But you had a pizzeria and you're about to open another pizzeria,
yes,
right?
I had two pizzerias. My first one was started in 2014. It was a Neapolitan style place that did fairly well, and I sold it after 3 years because I opened a New York style pizza place called Pizza Head, which actually did three times the sales of my first place. So I ended up selling the first place, and then I had Pizza Head for 5 years. Two of which were pandemic years. It was like a punk rock pizzeria, slice place, get a pint of PBR for $2 and two slices for $6. But both places are still open. One's open 10 years now with a new owner and the other one's 7 years. And so now I'm gonna open Pizza Via, which has a wood-fired oven in it already. And it's gonna be a, kind of a mishmash. I would call it just thin crust, 12-inch artisan pies.
Because, as you mentioned, 2014, you opened up the Neapolitan place in 2014, and that was still on this wave and this crest of interest in Neapolitan, neo-Neapolitan pizzas. And, of course, every couple of years, it seems like there's a trend change. Detroit style's been hot. Tavern style's coming on strong. I think there's always an interest in artisan and just really great dough.
Yeah. You know, with the European sensibility, basically. Pizza with... You go, you know, you've been to Europe, obviously, probably many times, you know, travel through Italy or even France and anywhere in Europe, and you're getting that really good quality pie no matter where you go. And
unless you go to some places in Naples for tourists where the pies are very wet.
Generally, it's my place has that because of my travels over there and the devotion in Neapolitan pizza. Sort of European sensibility, I call it. Yeah, well, the crispier crust.
The reason I'm asking is because a lot of business today, in this business at least, you can be doing it remotely, you can do it online, you can email somebody and have stuff delivered. Why come here physically? Why spend the money to come here from St. Louis, spend a couple of nights here? Why do this as opposed to just talking to people online?
this is my favorite event of the year. It's my favorite thing to do. And the amount of connections you make here and the availability of the products. I mean, I've been doing this 10 years and I think I'm good at it. And I've had two successful places, but I'm telling you, I'm learning, like I'm picking up so much stuff here. It's incredible.
Well, give me one example.
I'll give you one example. I have a wood fired oven. I went to a place the other night called Yukon Pizza. And I just sat at the bar and watched them just to watch their process. And, you know, their wood-fired oven, they use one of those things, those like in a fireplace, a wood holder, a metal thing that's, I've never thought of that idea, you know, to putting that in the wood-fired oven. You know, so I just have my coals and I throw my wood on there. But they have the coals, but they have the thing, so the wood sits higher. And it was burning really nicely. You know, the wood was just burning well. And I thought maybe by doing that, you get a better heat throughout the oven. So I'm gonna probably get one of those when I get back, and maybe you use less wood. I kind of got convinced to go, I think I'm gonna do self-order at my new place. So coming here, and Scott Wiener talked about soft serve and ice cream and stuff, and how like, I'm like, oh, maybe I should do soft serve out of there. But then I realized I walked by this gelato thing over there and they have these little gelato machines. So everything's done right there in the machine. You make the ice cream, the gelato in the machine and you serve it from the machine. You should check that booth out. So I'm like, okay, $5,000 for one flavor and seven for two flavors. So I'm just like, all I have to do is buy that machine, they ship it to me, it's $110, I plug it in, they give you all the recipes, and I make my gelato and I sell it and I make money.
That sounds like a great plan.
There's two examples.
Two great examples.
Right, why you should come to the Pizza Expo. And once I came, when I first opened, I didn't come for like a year or two. And then after I came here, and I was just blown away by, you come back from this place on a pizza high.
Scott, thanks so much. Okay. Have a good show.
Thanks for having me.
So while I was doing my work here at the Prolux booth, just happened to see a local Chicago legend approach the booth, Rose Baracco George. Needs no introduction. The owner, the matriarch of Vito and Nick's on the southwest side of Chicago. Rose, someone like you is so steeped in tradition. You do things the same way day in and day out. Why do you need to come to Las Vegas to the Pizza Expo to see a bunch of cheese manufacturers? I don't know. Why do you need to come here?
First, I enjoy it.
Okay.
Second of all, I come and I look at the new products that are out. Like I was looking at new flyers today, seeing if I can change it, make it easier on me. Steve, he has Prolux here. Interesting, very interesting.
You're not going to buy a dough press, though, for the pizzeria?
I don't think so. We'll go through too many. I think we can do it by hand faster than yours.
I'm sure you can. But do you come here to see colleagues or people in the industry, or do you want to actually learn some things here, or just, like I say, look at equipment?
I do all of the above, every one of them. I learn, I see friends, I see new products. I enjoy it.
How long have you been coming to the show?
This show I haven't been too many times, but Chicago's NRA every single year except for through COVID.
And are you ever fazed by, like, I hate to use the word trends, but it seems like, let's just look back at the last 14 years. You know, in 2010 there was this rage toward Neapolitan pizzas and wood-burning ovens. The last several years we've seen Detroit-style pizzas, which have been around since the 40s, but now they're popular. Now we're seeing tavern style. I hate to even say Chicago thin or tavern style is becoming popular because you guys have been doing it like 100 years.
That is correct. I love the thin crust pizza.
But what do you think about the fact that the rest of the country maybe finally is catching on, that we do something really special in Chicago?
I'm glad to see that happening. I really am. I mean, the fads that they had, I never took care of it. I never bothered with it. I said, the heck with it. I would do my thing, and that's the way it is. I use the same ingredients all the time. I don't vary anything.
And when you see people and you meet people and you say, I'm from Chicago and I have a pizzeria, do they instantly go to deep dish and stuffed, or do they understand?
Yes, they do instantly say it's deep dish. I don't know. No, it's tavern style. Thin crust, very thin crust.
And there's some debate now, at least in Chicago, how we should refer to this style of pizza. What do you call this style of pizza, the thin and crispy? The style you serve at Vito and Nick's, how do you refer to that style?
All my life it was thin crust. All my life. And then all of a sudden it became tavern style, and I thought about it. I said, yes, that's the way my dad actually sold it. He set it on the edge of the bar, and the tray would go down the bar, his tavern style, and people would eat and drink.
So it's okay to call it tavern style pizza, not just Chicago thin?
I guess it's okay.
Okay, I love.
I prefer to have thin crust.
I wanted to get that seal of approval from you. Rose, so great to see you. Have a great show.
You too, Steve. You take care. Okay. Good talking to you.
I'm Natale Caputo of Caputo Cheese from Melrose Park, Illinois.
So I'm always curious, Nat, there's so many different flour, sauce, cheese folks here. How does Caputo separate itself? How do you get that new business into Melrose Park?
It's got to go back to just our family traditions. Years of cheese making. It started with my mother and father back in 1978. And I've just carried those traditions forward. Some new world technology, some innovation, and we make world champion cheeses.
So how do you're the ambassador, obviously, it's your brand, but you got five, six guys here. How do they share that story on your behalf? Because that's really, the story is the important part of this, right?
It really is. You know, you see all my employees here in the booth, but we're really like a family. Most of these guys have been with me 10 years plus, some 20 years plus. So they've really, truly lived our family experience with me.
I don't see anything. You just have won a big award.
The World Championship Cheese Contest, first prize, best of class, for our fresh mozzarella Nodini. That's where we take fresh mozzarella and we hand tie them into a knot. We won first prize.
Where's that sign out here? Come on.
That sign is somewhere. It's out here somewhere.
I'm working your marketing there, Matt.
We have the product here.
Okay. So are you really pushing the fresh mozz then?
Fresh mozzarella is our number one item, yes. We also do all the hard type Italians, so Parmigiano Reggiano, Pecorino Romano, Parmesan Romano, and Asiago from all over the world.
And it doesn't really matter if the pizzeria in question that's looking at you is in the Midwest or on the coasts, right?
We are an international company. We sell food service distributors, manufacturers of all types, and restaurant chains. So they could typically find our product at any one of the broadliner distributors, Sysco, US Foods, Reinhardt, PFG.
But as much as people talk about how things have moved online these days in terms of doing business, this is the kind of event I'm guessing you have to actually be in person because you got to put the product in your mouth.
That's correct. So obviously you see our head cheesemonger, Jason, is hard at work in the corner over here. Showing the product, providing samples, making some pizzas. And if our customer comes up and wants to try one of the specialty items, we break that package open. We let them try it right away.
And how have things changed? You come here every year, obviously. How have things changed over the last several years?
Well, obviously, COVID was a tough one for all of us, and the show actually took a break for an entire year. I have not seen it this busy in a long time. This show has been tremendous. It's larger, there's a lot more vendors, a lot more exhibitors, and you can see just from the people walking down these aisles, it's much more busy.
All right, well, have a good show, Nat.
Thanks, Steve, great to see you.
My name is Matthew Lindo. I'm originally from the south side of Chicago, just outside Lansing. Moved to Vegas, lived here for about 12 years as a chef, and now I'm in Central Oregon, in Bend, Oregon.
That is quite a move. What's the pizza scene like up in Bend, Oregon?
Saturated, but not with good pizza.
What type of pizza typically up there? Kind of just thin or artisan or Neapolitan?
It's starting to get a little bit more diverse. Pinky G's just showed up about 2 weeks ago, if you know Pinky G's. So they're really good New York style pizza. We just started Tavern Style in Redmond, which is about 10, 12 miles north of Bend.
All right, let's talk about that. Tavern Style in Oregon. You're a Chicago guy, so it's in your blood, obviously. How do you replicate that, and what are you trying to do here at the show in reference to that?
Good question. This is my first year here, so I guess I'm just looking for tips, anything to make my life easier and more efficient to grow my business.
There's so much here. It's so overwhelming. Like, just you could just say cheese alone. 50, you know, 10 different cheese companies, all the different flour brands here, and the tomato sauces. I did a tomato sauce tasting earlier today, and I was like, wait, there's 8 types of tomatoes in this one brand. So how do you sift through it all as a first-timer?
Sure. I'm pretty loyal to my brands over the years. I stick with what I know. It's a familiar thing for me on my palate, and so that's what I want to give to the community I'm living in. So. Yeah, it's great enjoying all the samples and all the different types of stuff here, and I love it. And if I ever do a different style of pizza, it's good to have that you know, knowledge in case I want to do that. But I'm pretty loyal to, you know, the typical brands, Stanislaw, Grande, Sarasota, and that's what I stick with.
What's the response been out in Oregon to this Midwestern style of pizza?
It's been amazing. Our community loves it. We're crushing it. We're talking about opening another one already, and we're only a year in.
That's awesome. Matthew, have a great show. Good to meet you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
Okay, coming up in 2 weeks, we are back in L.A. getting ready for Pizza City Fest all month long, talking to the new owner at Hail Mary in Atwater Village. That's in 2 weeks on April 12th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Want to know what you think about the show. Also, reminder to support the show to keep it ad-free at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.